Let's reserve 5 minutes, please. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله والصلاة والسلام على خير خلقي ونور عرشي أفضل الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيبنا وسيدنا وسندنا وشفيعنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد
صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين. I begin in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most praiseworthy. And I particularly acknowledge the commencement of these lectures by the grace of the Almighty Lord that He has granted us existence and given us the ability to struggle in order to improve ourselves. And one of the best gifts He has given us besides our existence and guidance is this blessed month of Ramadan, which allows us the opportunity as to how we should struggle in this difficult exam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. Allah in Surah Baqarah, verse number 185, tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this blessed month, شهر رمضان. In this month was the revelation, الذي أنزل فيه القرآن, meaning the scripture of God has been revealed in this month. It is a guidance for mankind, هدى للناس وبينات, it's a clear evidence, والفرقان, it is one that distinguishes falsehood from that which is true. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is indeed a guide for all of mankind. In the preceding two verses before this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Meaning, O you who believe, it has been prescribed for you fasting as was prescribed to those who preceded you. What is the purpose behind this prescription? Allah makes it very clear, so that you are God conscious. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. God consciousness is really the core purpose for our existence. For if we do not recognize Allah as the center of our existence, then it really nullifies our existence in many ways, because as moral beings particularly, we have to have a guideline for morality. And the morality is the ultimate goal of mankind, which is to promote good and to forbid evil. And there is nothing greater for us to understand in the template of morality other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the source of all good is Allah. Therefore it is only logical that when mankind acknowledges Allah and puts Allah in the right perspective, then their morals become focused and then we become real human beings. And Allah has guaranteed that that individual, وَمَنْ يُسْلِمْ وَجْهَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٌ, the one who submits his face towards Allah, he is the good doer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guarantees victory to those people. On that note, I congratulate the human race for the fact that Allah has blessed us with this month of Ramadan, and we begin in these lectures and in these moments. And of course, I bid all of you, including my respected Sheikh Ilahi, who took a step out, and my respected brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum, Jami'a wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let me establish a few things. I know that in these blessed months we have 30 nights of lectures. There's a lot to speak about, and I will put a lot of emphasis in discussing the Quran, its revelation, the essence of the Quran. For I think this month, not only do we need to be reflective, but the best way of being reflective is to use the best template. For many of us, you will notice as a human race, we have ideas and opinions. And we have many ways of interpreting the law of God. We have many ways of interpreting experience. You'll find that there's not a human being on earth who agrees entirely with another human being. Each and every one of us has an opinion about an issue. There are times when we all agree on something, but it's not really all agree, but in a small group. But there is nothing that a person totally agrees holistically with another person. As I always say, even identical twins don't accept everything together. Meaning that even identical twins, will argue about something, though they are genetically identical. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing me that in this world there are many interpretations. And in this world, interpretations are based on not only comprehension, but experience-based. And you will notice that the best teacher in life is experience. A human being who experiences something is different from a person who simply speculates an experience. So you will see that there are people who have a very strong opinion about something. Until they experience something different, they change their opinion about it. As a result, it's very essential for us that we will always have diversity of opinions, which then leads many people to think that Islam, particularly the religion of Allah, is confusing. For depending on who you speak with, you'll get a different answer. And therefore it causes confusion in our minds, which leads some people to throw the towel in and to say, look, since God's religion should be one and there should be unanimity, there should be acceptance unanimously by a group of people who proclaim this faith, then this faith must be wrong. For if there is a diversity of opinion about this issue, then either the faith is wrong or the people are wrong, but generally the human race tends to take the latter, which in basic statement they say, well, in that case then, really the religion is wrong, so I'm just going to ignore religion. Religions are confusing. This is a classic argument that atheists use towards theists in saying that, look, you people of God don't accept your arguments properly, you all disagree about many issues, therefore your religion must be wrong. But we are establishing a fundamental principle that Allah has established in the Quran, and I will discuss that. Well, Allah says, we could have made you all believers. We could have made you one nation. You all originate from one nation. You're all coming from one father and one mother. Allah says, I could have done this. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes further in the Quran in stating to the Prophet that when they became believers, I made them believers. You simply passed on the message. You see, the Prophet has been told, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا نَذِيرٌ مُبِينٌ. I am a clear warner. Your duty is to see it and to experience it and to submit it. Who submits, who does not submit, is entirely in the hands of Allah. Now that's another discussion in itself, because some of you are probably thinking, well, if it's entirely in the hands of Allah, are you saying that God is preventing those non-believers from becoming believers? Or has God decided to make me a believer because He likes me and He doesn't like someone else? We need to talk about this. There is a beautiful system in the Quran that Allah lays a foundation, and once we understand this, all these verses, when Allah says, يَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُضِلُّ بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ, meaning God guides to that which He, whatever He wills, and He misguides whoever He wills. It doesn't mean proactive misguidance. There is a fundamental system that Allah has laid, and it's very essential for us to understand. What I have found as a Muslim growing up is that as much as I've had opinions growing up in my life, I've listened to scholars, I've used my own intelligence, I have listened to non-scholars, I've studied from universities, and I've always drawn my own conclusions about life. It's human nature. There is not a human being today that I can ask who does not have a particular opinion about something at a certain time. But yet when you look at them 5 years later, or a year later, or 10 years later, you'll find that they have a different opinion about the same issue 10 years later. And you'll ask them, why have you changed your position? They'll say, well, I held that position, but then I came to know more, I learned more information, I experienced something different, and now my position has changed. You notice that human race is evolving towards various positions. Same with me. I have been evolving constantly in life. The positions that I held many years back, or even yesterday, I could have a different opinion today. As long as we are proactively progressing in our spirituality towards a higher understanding, then it is perfectly fine to change opinions. What is fascinating to me is that while I have been changing my opinions in life, I have found nowhere to gauge myself perfectly to say which system can I hold on to, where I know this system doesn't change. It's I that's changing. Meaning, where can I hold myself tight to such that whenever I refer to it, it's always giving me the correct information. I may be misinterpreting it, but it's constant. You will never find, because if I go to a human being, today's position may be one thing, tomorrow's position may be to something else. So now, how do I gauge myself? What happens then is you find that we have to gauge ourselves towards a system that Allah has fixed. When Allah says, فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا لَا تَدِّيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ, the fitrah that Allah has established, it doesn't change. The system of God does not change. Allah does not decide 2,000 years ago to change His system through redemption, that now somebody has to die to save mankind from going to hell. God, Allah doesn't change the system. Allah does not have a separate methodology. So thus I can conclude that when Adam a.s. walked this earth, the laws of God upon Adam must have been the same as the laws of God upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And once we understand that, we begin to realize that, okay, where do I gauge my fundamental principles so that as I'm evolving with changing my positions, this particular system is always my reference point. And from experience I found there is no such institution other than the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran is the most amazing book I've ever encountered in my life. And I know I will never encounter a book like this. From all my experiences, I have never seen a book that really taps into the most fundamental elements of our existence, but it grows with us. And initially when we approach it, for example, some people may not be very intrigued by it. So say it's a book, it's got scriptures, it's got stories, it tells me about do's and don'ts, heaven and hell. So the Quran is now not being dealt properly, and it's okay. But as you sit on it, and as you start delving into it and reciting it and understanding it, it starts to reveal some secrets that are unimaginable. And those secrets are not the ones that take you into the sky and make you, outlandish. It actually grounds you. It makes you realize that the events of the world, those confusing points that we have about people committing crimes, for example, the criminals on earth, and all the evils that exist on earth, yet at the same time we're saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful and He's so just and He's all-seeing and He does not like bad things. We're saying, well, how come He's allowing this? And why is this happening? And when is this going to stop? And what's my position? And what about that non-believer? How is that? Holistically, our mind gets confused. The minute we go to the Quran establishes a very fundamental principle which often is not articulated properly. What I find is people put their personal opinions from the Quran, which then takes us away from the true spirit of the Quran. I've only seen very few great scholars who never put their personal opinions in the Quran. They only take the Quran and present it as they see from the Quran. It's very difficult to do, by the way. No human being really can escape personal opinions. But a personal opinion, as far as I have understood it, is only valid when the Quran nods at you and says, it's okay, give that opinion. I approve. And that requires a great deal of sagacity. Sagacity meaning wisdom, to understand what is the Quran actually implying. So let me establish the fundamental principles tonight. We will talk more, and I will be spending more time especially speaking about the history of the Quran, especially stories of the Quran. Why prophets are mentioned? Why does Allah give us stories about these prophets? What is the intent of Allah giving you the whole story of Yusuf a.s., for example? What is the story of Musa a.s., so mentioned in the Quran? Ibrahim, why is he so mentioned? Yunus, the whole story of Yunus, escaping from the people, going into the belly of the whale. What's the wisdom behind it? One thing that's very fundamental in the Quran is telling me very clearly, I have no interest in telling you stories. I will only tell you a story if there's a deep moral lesson behind it. Otherwise, I will not tell you. Now, let's face it, every story on earth has a moral point. But Allah has chosen the best moral points to put forth in the Quran. Therefore Allah says, focus on these. This becomes the central point of all ideas. Thus, in other words, we can say that this story of Musa alayhi salam going to help a person, a follower of Allah, who then fights a man and kills a man of Fir'aun, for example. What's the moral story? Well, there are many stories like this that we can show in our day-to-day lives. But Allah says, this is the best one. And you will see many stories are similar to this. The bottom line is, get the moral principle behind it. Study the moral principle behind it, for that is your goal from the Quran. So when Allah says, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ, indeed, in this Quran is that which guides you to that which is most upright, then Allah is basically telling me that the moral principles behind the Quran are really what you and I need to focus on. Because ultimately, you and I can be experts in detailing stories that happened 5,000 years ago. We can be expert forensic scientists in detailing how the molecular structure of that person was 10,000 years ago. But Allah says those are all secondary matters. The primary matter that you must acquaint yourself and avail yourself and be strong in it is to understand the moral principles behind it, because ultimately all scientific evidences fall apart if the individual does not practice a true moral principles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for. Salat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. First and foremost, brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us out of His mercy. If there is one thing that I will stress, and I will always stress till I die, for I have realized it with clarity, that my whole existence, everything that happens in this universe, good or bad, is entirely wrapped in the mercy of God. Meaning all the evils that take place are really transient events, and the upper goal of these transient events, as evil as they may be, is wrapped with the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is very essential. I cannot stress more on this fundamental, central foundation principle of Islam, which is that Allah says, كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Allah has enjoined obligatory upon Himself mercy. Meaning my existence is entirely due to His mercy. My trials, my tribulations, my potentials for entry into paradise, even my potential into entry of hell, is really wrapped around the mercy of God. And if you and I do not see it, then we must see it. Because Allah has built a system that if you reject this, there is nothing but regression. Think about it. If a human being was to go to the worst case scenario and say, I don't know why I exist. I think I'm just an accident. And there is no purpose to life. Life has no purpose. Assuming you came to that conclusion, which I think is absurd, but there are people who believe in that. You find it, assuming you negate all positive purposes and say, look, I'll take positives when it suits me and I'll take the negatives when it suits me. Because at the end of the day, I'm not morally bound, for there is no really a higher authority that's going to hold me liable for my deeds or misdeeds. There are people like this. Now take a situation like that. An individual who decides to go contrary to the will of Allah. Meaning they will use the world for their benefits, but they will be completely worldly. They do not want to extrapolate nor think spiritually to a higher dimension to say, I need to be good. I need to abstain because there is a greater good. They said, no, there's no such thing as a greater good. You find individuals as such, if you live a life like that, you become highly regressive. The world will grab you into such a state of tension that you will kill yourself. You will become suicidal. In fact, there are lots of studies done that people who have completely submerged themselves into the worldly life, that the minute they become sick, especially when the doctor says to them that you're terminally ill, euthanasia becomes an option to them. Where they go into the garage, they hold a gun and they shoot themselves. Why? Because there is no purpose to life. So notice the end result of this individual, having lost all hope, becomes regressive to the point of total destruction. Any human being who does not project at a higher state for a greater existence, meaning does not look from the eyes of mercy, begins to become regressive and becomes destructive. Any human being, examine. So at the end of the day, you might say, oh, look, you're a Muslim, you know, you're putting mercy in the name of God, and you're talking about God being merciful. It's because you just want to make yourself feel good. People tell me that. You know, you've created religion in order to pacify yourself, to give yourself a good feeling. They tell me this. I said, so? Assuming it is. So, if you totally believe that this world is totally random, and it is totally worthless as far as objectives are concerned, then when you start to drive a car, and you have two cars, one is a clunker that breaks in the middle of the highway, and one that works and takes you to your destination, which one are you going to get on? He says, of course, the one that takes me to the goal. I said, well, then as human beings we understand that this innate nature of progression requires this belief. Thus, even if you don't believe in the existence of God, thinking of a positive mercy is superior than thinking of no mercy. For the one thinking of positive mercy works. Scientific evidence is even shown. People who have faith in religion, who have faith in the hereafter, people who have faith in God, people who pray, react better physically, mentally, bodily, that they react better. So even if I was an ardent materialist, I would say, since it works, let me pretend with it. At least it works. So bottom line is, subhanAllah, look at the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that even a perfidious rejecter who's going to continuously reject Allah, Allah says, وَمَا يَجْهَدُ بِآيَاتِنَا إِلَّا كُلُّ خَتَّارٍ كَفُورٍ. No one rejects my signs, except one who is bent on rejecting. But Allah says, the one who rejects is destroying himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ الشِّفَاءُ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا. What we have revealed in this Quran is a shifa, is an intercessor. What does it mean? It's an elixir, it's a drug, it's a medication, It's that which cools my eyes, cools my heart. It calms me down. Ala bidhikrillah. Allah says, tatma'in al-qulub. Ala, meaning Allah says, oh, the remembrance of Allah calms the hearts down. Bidhikrillah tatma'in al-qulub. Ask even a non-believer who's non-Muslim but a believer in God will tell you, I feel good when I think of a higher being. Why do you feel good? Is it a concoction of man? Is it something we concocted? Believe me, if it was a concoction of man, the first group of people on earth to eradicate this concoction would be the human race. Why should we? Why should we all subject ourselves to some theory or some ideology of a higher being when he's so unreachable and untouchable? Why should I even bother with such a being? Let's eradicate. People have tried. Excellent example are atheists who are trying all their lives and they do nothing but shoot themselves in the foot. So Allah is saying, then, what do you want? What is it that you should want? And honestly, deep down when I think about it, subhanAllah, the rahmah of Allah is such that even one who rejects the existence of God, Allah says to him, if you think positive, you will react positive. If you think negative, you will react negative. That's my system. Allah has built a system. In the month of Ramadan, the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this blessed month is precisely designed to do this. That Allah has put fasting upon us. You know, fasting is a universal principle. Catholics fast for 40 days. Hindus fast. You know, the Jains. The Jains are a very, very conservative group of Hindus. They're the ones who cover their faces when they walk on the streets because they believe in the system of reincarnation. And they are very, very staunch Hindus. Staunch. To the point that they fast up to death. They starve themselves to death. You find Jews fast. All major religions on earth, including the Mayans in South America, would fast. What is this fasting about? And why is it so universal? And why is it that even among the people who study human physiology, they will tell you that fasting is beneficial for you? What is it about fasting that there's a universality in it that all religions, including Islam, which leads the path, when it comes to fasting, no religion leads the pathway to the institution of fasting more than Islam. Yet you find this principle is universal. That when you tell a person I'm fasting, in their minds, what are the first things that come to the mind? Look at the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want to talk about the different rahmahs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we expound on it in this blessed month and we reflect upon it and we live with it, our heart begins to move positively. We become calmer. We're able to handle problems better. We're able to resolve problems better. We're able to have longer thinking, long-term thinking. We're able to sustain difficulties better. And we don't react to good news wildly. We're more controlled because we understand the effects of the future. This is a wise person. An individual who has such a quality is a wise person. So what is it that's so universal? SubhanAllah. You will notice that all of us as human beings realize that at the core of our humanity, it is the moral principles. That when a human being is abstinent, when a human being is giving and forgiving, that human being is superior to a person who takes and doesn't forgive. Ask anybody, the statement I just made, this previous sentence I just made, if you take it and you put it anywhere on earth, a person is giving and forgiving, and there's another person who takes and does not forgive, who is better? Only an insane person will tell you the latter is better. What is it about this quality of giving and forgiving that is so important to the human race? By the way, when you study this character, you will notice it is actually contrary to natural selection. There is a higher dimension of natural selection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the spiritual domain also has natural selection. But it's not the physical kind of natural selection. The physical kind of natural selection means the weakest link must be removed. The highest spiritual order of natural selection is the weakest should be protected. SubhanAllah. Opposite. Look at the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah has built a system that as much as material as we can be, an individual who possesses a higher dimension of morality is superior to all material possessions in the universe. What is it about the human race, as voracious as we may be, insatiable as we may be, with our desire for the material world, if we all stop dead in our tracks when the same individual who's got a lot of wealth misbehaves? The same individual who's got a lot of wealth has bad character. We stop dead in our tracks and we say, it's ugly, we don't like that. What is it? What is it that stops a human being from thinking, from going in this, that stops a human being from being so material and says, hold on, a moral being is better. Look, what I'm saying now is not only within Islam, it's universal. Even if you are on a different planet, we'll be talking about this. It's not subject to Earth. It's universal. What is it? Well, the human race recognizes that we are all under a trial at the moral level. That how we behave with each other and to ourselves is fundamental to our own success. If you boil it down to any discussion, you'll find that a human being who has the best moral character is the best human being. But how do I reach there? Every human being says, how do I reach that level where my morals are good? Not only for the world to recognize, that's secondary. My morals are good so that I am the happiest. So that I know that my conscience is not going to bite me that I have stolen or cheated or lied or inadvertently been unjust to someone. How can I reach that stage? SubhanAllah. Therefore, the fundamental principle of Islam is that mankind has been created to be tested. Allah says, هَلْ أَتَعْلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينُ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا إِنَّا خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ سَرِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Indeed, Allah says, has man not considered they were unworthy of being mentioned? You were a non-significant, non-existent being. You were brought into existence, Allah says. We made you from a little thing that clings. أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ أَمْشَاجٍ نَبْتَلِيهِ to test you. نَبْتَلِيهِ. Therefore, we gave you sight and hearing so that you are tested. Then Allah says, إِنَّ هَدَيْنَهُ السَّبِيلَ. We guided you. This is a universal principle. When I look at Muslims, non-Muslims, people from schools, you see everybody admits that there is a trial of some sort. Even for the non-existence of God, an atheist will tell you, my trial is to be good as a human being for humanity. That I am a humanist. That I must progress the human race. I must do good for humanity. I must not cheat and steal. What is it about a being, the rahmah of Allah, that Allah has fixed, whether you accept it or reject it, that there's an internal guidance in you that you must follow. And if you do not follow it, you will regress and destroy yourself. And if you follow, you will progress and reach higher stages of existence. Look, universal. At the fundamental level, look at the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says that this blessed month, Shahru Ramadan, we have enjoined upon you fasting. Fast, it is good for you. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam. It has been enjoined upon you. Why? What is the reason? Allah says, so you are God conscious, so that your morals reach high stages. And you will notice that even those Hindus, if you ask them, why do you starve yourself to death? They say, because it is a way to reach a higher existence. Those who believe in even reincarnation like the Jains will tell you that when we die starving ourselves, we will prove to the system, to the gods, that we are worthy of a higher existence because we were abstinent. We sacrificed. We gave and forgave. SubhanAllah. Although the religion is wrong, the principles are flawed, but look at the inner quality of humanity always moving in that direction. Can we find a better system that has adjudicated, that has legislated, that has put a system together for mankind to turn on as a switch and fall right into it on a universal level? There are 1.8 billion on earth can all together say, we're fasting, labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. We answer you, O Allah. You called us to this fast, we answer you. Look at the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's indescribable. Nobody can understand this depth. But in this blessed month, while we are fasting, brothers and sisters, let's reflect upon this. What the greatest gift that Allah has given us is this power to understand how to pass this examination. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Abstinence. You know what's our biggest problem on earth? We are trained today, especially with the power of the consumable society, the consuming society that we have. Everything is recycled. Where you just consume. The economy can only go forward when you buy and then lose your interest within a short while. We don't want you to hold a product for too long. We want you to break it. We want it to break so that you should come back and buy more. And even if you keep that, every time we'll give you a new color and we'll put a few more bells and whistles in it so you get more attractive and get more attractive. So this way you will never be satisfied because it's the only way to keep the economy going. At least that's their thinking. In Islam rejects this. Although Islam is a consuming society, it is a society that promotes consumption, but in a balanced way, that brings about equity and fruitfulness, which we will discuss in one of these nights, inshallah, if time permits. But because of that, we've all become voracious creatures. We've become so insatiably voracious, meaning no matter how much we have, we're just not happy. Build a palace for them, they have a complaint. A human being becomes this constant complaining being. It's not my way. I don't like this. I don't like that. You give them a universe, they're still complaining. That individual is immoral. That's an immoral individual. That's the one who's a kafir. Allah said, the one who's a kafir, my rejecter is that one. That no matter how much I give him, he's not satisfied. That's why Allah threatens them. He says, أَلْحَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ. Abundance has diverted you. Wait till you come to the grave. And Allah threatens them in the Quran. Look, the mercy of Allah is such, Allah doesn't threaten beings. If you look at the entire spirit of the Quran, it is rahmah, forgiveness. Seek forgiveness. وَسَعَدُوا لَا مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Hasten to forgiveness. Paradise awaits for you. It's bigger than the universe in your concept. Allah says, come to it. Here yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is threatening. Because you notice the spirit of the Quran sometimes is that threats work. Otherwise Allah would never threaten us. If we as human beings were submissive to the information Allah gave us, there would not be a single threat in the Quran. There would be nothing but positive exhortations. If you do this, this will happen. Rather Allah says, you do this, hell is for you. People say, why is God threatening you with hell? A merciful God talking about hell. Why is he telling you get hell? لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ. You will see hell. ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِيمِ. You will see it with the clarity of vision. Why? Oh Allah, you are merciful. What are you threatening me about hell for? There are people where they say, I don't worship God because he's threatening me. He is threatening me about hell. Allah says there are different kinds of people on earth. There are those that the minute the message of God comes, their hearts palpitate. There are human beings. When they hear the name of God, their hearts palpitate. Even there are non-believers. There are non-believers I've seen. Non-believers here, what I mean by non-believers, those who are not Muslims. You will notice that the minute you speak about God, you speak about the mercy of God, they stop work, they look at you. Talk to me please. I like this. I said, look at this person. He's got the spirit of God in his heart. In the eyes of Allah, maybe he's a better believer than me. I don't know. But Allah says, talk to him. His heart is ready. It's ready for guidance. You need to guide him. Bring him towards me. Udu'ila sabili rabbika bil hikmah. Bring him. He is a candidate for you. Why? The heart is ready. So you find an individual who is already ready to listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Their hearts are ready. The wisdom of Allah is there. That's one group of people. Then there are those you remind them. فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفْعَتِ الذِّكْرَ. Look at this principle in the Quran, Allah says. Remind them, for reminding is beneficial. We humans, for example, I come in the month of Ramadan, I say to myself, I've been lecturing for 15 years. I said, 15 years of lecturing, although I haven't been, I'm just giving an arbitrary number. 15 years I've been lecturing, every year the same story. We keep saying about Karbala, Imam Hussein went to Karbala, and he died, and this happened, and Yazid said this, and Shimmer said this. Okay, we heard it. Allah says, for that kid in the heart of the dhikr. But we told them already. Allah says, remind them, they forgot something. Humans are like that. That reminding is very beneficial. So when you come to the month of Ramadan, you say, I'm going to start my lecture, I'm going to speak about the Quran. It could be similar things that we spoke last year. Doesn't matter. Repeat it. Some verses you have to repeat 1,000 times till it gets into their minds. For when it gets into their minds, it'll get into their blood, which will get into their hearts, it'll get into their brain, into their system, into their body. Then they will see the verse differently. Don't think the Quran is a surface book. Don't think it is a verse that once it is understood, that's it, it's the end of the story. No, there is an infinite approach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even in every verse, there is an infinite approach. So Allah says, remind them. But look at what the Quran says. He says, remind them. Reminding is beneficial. But there are two kinds of Allah, of people Allah mentions in the Quran. سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. The one who is God conscious will listen to you. سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. يَخْشَى is what? One who's conscious of God. How? He's got khushu. What's khushu? Khushu is one who is submitted. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتٍ خَاشِعٌ. The one who approaches prayer is a successful one, Allah says. The one who comes in prayer in a state of khushu, the one who's ready to submit. It requires effort, brothers and sisters. It doesn't just, you don't just wake up one morning and have khushu in your heart. It requires sacrifice. If there is one thing that takes a human being to different levels, it's sacrifice. That individual was doing a haram thing. He says, you know what? God has forbidden me this. I've been having this bad habit for a long time. But I have decided I'm going to stop. And the shaitan speaking in behind your head says, true, but look, you're a loser. You're going to stop today, it's going to come back to you tomorrow, so don't bother. And you're lying to God anyway. You know that. You've said this before. You told God I'm sorry. Didn't you say that last year? Look, you went right back to what you were doing. And he says, yeah, that's true. I'm a loser anyway, so let me get worse. No. Allah says, don't ever. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. قل يا عبادي الذين أسرفوا على أنفسهم. Say to the believers who have gone to the extremes, who have harmed themselves, don't lose hope in the mercy of God. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. إن الله يغفر الذنوب. God forgives. Don't ever say that. So now the person says, okay, so I'm going to ask forgiveness from God. And the person does make a concerted effort. And every time that event comes and they want to do it, their body is just sweating for it, they want it, they say, no. I'm going to travel, I'm going to put chains on my hands, and I'm going to stop myself, and I'm going to do everything possible not to do it. Allah says, now that's a being who is evidence for his own self. Do that one thing, and Allah opens up hundreds more. What we don't realize is it must take that first effort. That's what Allah says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِ. Allah does not change the affairs of the people until the people change it themselves first. Why? Allah says, make the concerted effort, for I have already done much for you. I created you. I planted all the good in you. I showed you the right way. I showed you what is the wrong way. I sent prophets to you. I sent imams for you. And I sent the Qur'ans for you. What more do you want? What more do you want? I have done your job, you do the job now. When we take that one step, what happens is the body now says, I fought a battle. A battle among infinite battles. Allah says, it doesn't matter how many battles are waiting for you. You fought one. You have brought as evidence towards me that you mean it. Now watch what I give you. And Allah opens up hundreds of doors. That's the one who's got yakhsha. سَيَذَكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. Then Allah says, the one who has taken the world negative. Everything you tell him, this is a lie. What day of judgment? Doesn't exist. Prophet telling you this already didn't come. The prophet got revelations? There was no revelation. Miracles of prophets? Don't fool yourself. Quran is a great book of God. How do you know it's written by a man? It was put together by people. It's got so many contradictions. Everything they can look at negative, they will bring a negative argument. Contentious. Contentious 24/7. That individual were the ones like Abu Jahl, Abu Sufyan. Contentious. Never stopping to challenge Allah. Never. Till their death. Allah says, وَيَتَجَنَّبُهُ الْأَشْقَى. The one who's contentious is the one who will turn away from him. He won't listen to him. Allah says, what happens to the contentious one? الَّذِي يَصْلَى النَّارَ الْكُبْرَى. That's the one who will be cast in hell. ثُمَّ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى. Then they will neither be alive in it nor dead. They'll be in a state of trepidation that is so uncomfortable that Allah is drawing a picture for me. Why? He said, trepidation? Hell? Burning? لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى. God, you're merciful. Allah says, I'm adil. Allah is kahhar, jabbar. He is mighty. He is also the punisher. The one who gives. Why? Because the rahmah is also seen through punishment. So when Allah is talking about hell, He's not scaring me because God wants to tell me that I'm this authority that every time you think of me, you should be trembling under your feet and that you should fall down and be afraid of me, which is the allegation that has been placed forth against the Muslims of the world, that Muslims have a God that they are afraid of. And other religions have a God that they love. Not at all. Furthest from the truth. In fact, Islam is the religion of love. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Show me a verse in the Quran. In every chapter, besides Surah Al-Bara'at, even Bara'at has an exclusion point in another verse where Allah balances even that Rahman ar-Rahim. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes His foundation. That even for the non-believers, there's Rahman ar-Rahim. And Rahma is superior form of love. It's a higher form of love. There's one thing to be hubbullah, to have love of Allah. But there's something else to have, the mercy of God, which encompasses not only love, it encompasses wisdom, it encompasses destiny, it encompasses caressing. Raham. Raham. Imagine. Arham. هو الذي يصوركم في الأرحام كيف يشاء. Same root word, رحم. رحم is what? It's the womb of a mother. Ask a child, what is the most comfortable place that they can be existing in? Why do you think they cry when they come out of the womb? It's an uncomfortable removal from a comfort zone. The womb of a mother, raham. Look at the word, womb. Look how active Arabic is. Even raham, that if you look at the deepest point when a mother loves you, she says, I love you. What are the first things that come into your mind? Protection, caressing. You see? Taking care of you, feeding you. Giving you consolation, rahmah. Look at the religion of Allah. It's so filled with rahmah. So when Allah is telling me about hell, it's not the design of Islam, but Allah understands us better than anyone. You see? رَبُّكُمْ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا فِي نُفُسِكُمْ. Your Lord knows what lies in yourselves. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, I scare you, I'm going to tell you that you're going to go to hell. That the ones who are being voracious in their desire for this world, hell waits for you. And then you understand, says, oh, there are certain people who just don't work until you expose hell to them. There are certain people who have no concept of life until you show them hell. Then maybe they get to their senses. And I'll conclude tonight, you'll see an amazing reality among our youth. You find that the most recalcitrant meaning the ones who challenge establishments, the ones who are the most difficult to control, are teenagers. Why? Because they've just gotten autonomy. For the first time they can drive a car. They are full of time. They are the most desirable. They have the best potentials, because the old ones now are seen to be leaving this world soon. The young ones are too immature. They see themselves as perfect in their makeups. And you find them to be the most difficult to deal with. Yet, the ones who do submit to Allah are the finest you will ever find on earth. The same group. You will find that the one who usually comes, the one who has lost his way, the one who does the haram things, usually will come quickly to Allah when he or she witnesses a disaster. When they live through a death, or they live through a tsunami, or an earthquake, a disaster, you find that being suddenly wants to come and worship God. You ask them, why? Why do you want to worship God? Oh, I saw something terrible. I never want to be there. I want to save myself from that perdition. I want to do good for myself. My friend died. A brother recently came to me a few years ago. A brother says, I did all the worldly things. He came to me and says, I want to learn how to pray. I said, how old are you? He says, I'm 17. I said, that's wonderful. What has brought this enlightenment to you? He says, my best friend died last week. And I witnessed his death on the road. Got into a car accident. The two of us were doing daredevil stuff. We were racing on the road. And he hit something and he died. And I witnessed his death, and I don't want to die like that. Notice now, what happens is being suddenly comes to his mind. He becomes reflective. He says, oh, I see. It's no longer this invincible me that I am a teenager, I can do somersaults and I can jump off buildings and I can still survive. Oh no, I can also die. Just like my friend died. That's why you notice the most vulnerable state of life is that age, because children think they can do anything they want. They get into drugs, they don't realize that that's the destruction, because you can't get out. But to get in is so easy, because the mental state states in their mind that I can do whatever I want, and if it's no good, I can come out. And besides, I'm young, I'm strong, and I can do whatever I want. That's exactly where shaitan fools us. That's why Allah says, فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Don't let the glitter of this world beguile you. It will track you so quickly. So Allah has set a system of the month of Ramadan to bring the people together. That as much as an individual is always in communication with his Lord, Allah says, put it holistically, let the world come together and let them talk about me so that it's amplified and this spirituality is amplified. And you find the human race, for example, especially the Muslim Ummah, is most giving and forgiving in the month of Ramadan. You will find that the most generous creed in the Muslim society is in the month of Ramadan. That's why so many fundraising dinners are held in this month, because it's ideal, because people tend to be more spiritual during this time. While they are abstinent, while they're fasting, keeping away from the evils of the world, you find they become more God conscious. So let me conclude briefly that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this. Our voracious attitudes need to be controlled. Like Imam Jafar Sadiq made a statement that really disturbs me. And I am one of those people, potentially. He said the human being is the type that if his neighbor has a valley of silver and gold, and he has a valley of silver and gold, he will desire his neighbors also. This is disturbing. This disturbs me as a human being. I am that human being. I have that potential of being a voracious creature that will never be satisfied if I indulge myself into that world. The one that Allah threatens me with, takathur. Al-hakum al-takathur. How do I stop it? Allah says, practice lesson one, abstinence. Salah, remember me frequently, for I am the source of giving and taking. Put me in the center of your life. Let the world talk about everything else. Put me in the center of your life and you will become balanced. Today, you know what's something amazing? You know that obesity, according to the global standards, has exceeded global malnutrition. Do you know that? There are more people obese on earth today than there are people who have malnutrition. For the first time in the history of the human race, more people are fat than skinny. What does it mean? We've become a voracious society. We've become a society of indulgence beyond description. And humans who don't control that, they don't even realize it. They're actually tipping the scale the other way. You might think malnutrition kills, obesity kills even more. In fact, it's a bigger killer than malnutrition. So you'll find that there's a serious problem of tipping the scale. And therefore Allah is saying to me, there are two extremes to the scale. Hunger and excessive eating. Allah says, كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُصْرِفُوا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُصْرِفُونَ. Eat, drink, don't overdo it. Allah doesn't like anyone who overdoes it. What a mercy and what a blessing. But let us concentrate on the earth that we live in today. That the solution to all these problems, obesity, even malnutrition, even family discomforts, family breakups. Why do you think marriages break up today? Because of tipping the scale too much. If you listen to most marriage problems, you'll find somebody's demanding too much. Either both are demanding too much, or one of them is demanding too much. So Islam, through fasting, teaches us how to put this back into balance. Inshallah, we'll discuss this more. May Allah give us the tawfiq in this blessed month. To get close to Him, to make our hearts soft. The one who Allah says, سَيَذَّكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى. For Allah, in this blessed month, make our hearts soft. Soften it. O Allah, make us reflective. O Allah, let us lose focus of this desire for the world. Let us only use it when we need to earn our living and to make comfort for ourselves. But let it not be our goal. Let you be our goal. Let this world be my stepping stool for you, O Allah. And let me reflect upon you, for you are the source of all good. And everything returns to you. So in this blessed month, O Allah, grant us this security and comprehension that we should get out of this vicious cycle of being these beings who are never satisfied, always unhappy, always creating trouble, always lying or cheating or doing something which Allah has forbidden. O Allah, give us the strength to get out of this cesspool in this blessed month, inshallah. Let us set goals for this blessed month of 30 days. Then let us look to ourselves. The problems that we have, let us try to at least get rid of one, if not all of them. May Allah give us the tawfiq, inshallah. Brothers and sisters, as my respected Hajj Muhammad Baydun mentioned, the box was not brought while I was lecturing. I really, really am most grateful to my respected Shaykh Ilahi for honoring that request. As you know, a center like this requires a tremendous amount of upkeep. We know we run operations, it's always very, very heavy. And I know that in the month of Ramadan, we're very giving. And rather than bring that box at the key moments when the lecture is at its peak, I requested them to kindly have boxes outside, let them have a desk outside for donations. Let us go. Give $5, $10, $500, $5,000, it doesn't matter. Money that is given in the way of Allah always comes back from Allah in multitudes. Let's give. But I also want to thank the organizers of this institution. And I would like, as my respected Hajj Baydun mentioned, let's prove that this system is better. Because every time I lecture, I know many people come and say to me, they're doing the lectures when the boxes are passed, it's very distracting. So let us prove to them that it doesn't work and that other methods are better. So that at least the integrity and the sanctity of lectures is maintained. For at the end of the day, we gather here not to raise money, not to take money. We come here to raise our spiritual level. And once the spirits are high, then everything else is comes naturally. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم وآخر الدعوة الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.